This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Our hearts are desirous of your presence and would entertain you not as a guest, but as an inhabitant, as the Lord of all our being. Enter in and take possession and dwell with us forever, that we also may dwell in the heart of our dearest Lord, which was opened for us with a spear and with love. Amen. Good morning. That wonderful and I find beautiful prayer is written by Jeremy Taylor. He is in our calendar of saints, and we celebrated his feast day this past week. He is known as one of the Anglican divines, one of the great theologians in Anglican history. And he hits the nail on the head with what is the ongoing theme of our gospel from the Bread of Life discourse. That Jesus would dwell with us not as a guest, but as an inhabitant within us. Our first two readings talk a lot about wisdom. So let's start with wisdom today. The story is told of a dean of a university. He was doing quite a good job. And he had collected all of his different professors, and they were sitting in the faculty dining room when suddenly an angel appeared. And the angel says to the dean, "Because you have been doing such a good job, I am going to give you a gift, but you must choose. I will give you all the wealth and money that the world has to offer, or I will give you all the wisdom known to humankind." And he thinks for a minute, and the dean says, "I'll take the wisdom." And with that, the angel disappears. Now, all the other faculty members are just dying. Did this really happen? Did it take place? So they want to hear this wisdom spewing forth from the dean's mouth. So they say, "Say something, say something." And the dean pauses for a moment, and then he says, "I should have took the money." Wisdom. Solomon could ask for anything. He asks for wisdom. St. Paul, talking to the Ephesians about what they need to emphasize, and the first thing he says today is wisdom. He adds in, "Be sober and be thankful." There's nothing else you take away from today. Remember St. Paul's three things. Be wise, be sober, be thankful. This whole idea of wisdom, discernment, knowing right from wrong, knowing good from evil, knowing what we are supposed to do when those different paths are emerging, what way would you have me go, God? To have that wisdom and discernment, I think we would all agree, is crucial. And we get some insights into that through the gospel we hear today. Yep, it's more about the bread of life. I think we're now on week number 4 with the bread of life, and we got more to come. I was grateful for the opportunity to have Father Monty and Father William preach on this, because I don't have 6 weeks' worth of Bread of Life sermons to give to you. So we get different vantage points and viewpoints and different perspectives on it. But let's just take the fact that there is so much and so lengthy a discussion in John's Gospel as sort of the jumping off point for us, because just the length of it itself makes a point to us. Remember, John is the one gospel of all the four that is written specifically for the believing Christian community of John's day. He writes his gospel because he wants them to be strengthened in their fledgling faith. So really, John is, above all, the gospel for us who already believe, who encourage us in our journey. Now, if John, who is trying to encourage us in our faith, chooses to go on and on and on about the bread of life, there must be something important for that he doesn't want us to miss. It started back with the question that they asked many, many verses ago. Our fathers gave us manna in the wilderness. Jesus, what sign do you do for us? And he gives this long response in the bread of life discourse that's interspersed with these other questions that are asked. The bread of life. My flesh is food indeed. Whoever eats my body and drinks this blood has life eternal. Now, scripture scholars have debated for centuries, probably since the earliest scriptural commentary was written on papyrus, as to what Jesus was talking about here. Is he talking about specifically the Eucharist itself? Or is he talking more in general terms about my flesh, meaning my incarnate self, my humanity? Now, scriptural scholars debate this and debate this, but I think, as with most things Anglican, it's not either or, it is both and. So today I want to take a look at both of these ways of looking at the bread of life. Start with the Eucharist. We are blessed every Sunday with celebrating again and remembering again that Last Supper where Jesus commanded us and commended us and encouraged us to continue to remember him when we receive him in the Eucharist. Sometimes I think it can become too rote for us that we forget the beauty and the power that there is in that weekly altar call that we have in our church. There is tremendous healing that takes place up here. I remember the day when one of our parishioners who was suffering from some temporary blindness came up here. And he was praying specifically that he would be healed. And at the time he said, when that host hit his hands, somehow he was able to see again. Now, it's not always that dramatic. But I know of so many who have shared stories of spiritual healing and insight that has taken place. I can tell you, as I've given my own witness many times, of what it does for me of knowing what's going on in the depths of that person's soul and the difficulties they face in their life at that time. And as they come up here in witness, sometimes physically struggling to even get up to the rail, what a powerful witness they give and healing they give to others by their presence to receive the Lord in the Eucharist. Most of you know that we just went on our adult pilgrimage to Iona and Lindisfarne. And on the holy island of Lindisfarne, as it's called, there's this outdoor statue of St. Cuthbert that is in the ruins of the abbey there. And our first pilgrimage group, that is the spot we chose to celebrate Eucharist outside on the footsteps of that statue. Each successive pilgrimage group has gone to that same spot and celebrated Eucharist, and especially remembering the pilgrims who have gone before that group. Not only St. Joseph's, but pilgrims of all ages and all times who have come to that holy place. So with this adult group, it was to be no different that we would go to that spot to celebrate the Eucharist. Now, you know that on this one, it was a do-it-yourself thing. So I didn't have staff. I didn't have a tour company. So I had to remember all this stuff that we needed for the Eucharist. So I had the little bag, and we had to make sure we had something that would function as a chalice, that we had some of the wine that wasn't being drunk at night to use for the Eucharist, and that we had, of course, some bread to celebrate the Eucharist, and we had a towel that would be the altar cloth and a corporal, and that we also had everything else that was needed along the way, a Bible, a prayer book, and so forth. So I think I've got it all together, and We are the first ones who get to this place outside in the morning. There is no one else around. It is absolutely gorgeous, sunny day. And there we are, and we begin the Eucharist, and we get through the liturgy of the word, and we've shared some prayers, and now it's time to set up the table for the Eucharist. Guess what I forgot? The bread. How can you have Eucharist without the bread? Now, in our little group of seven, there is Chris Keating, used to be Chris Miller, used to belong to St. Joseph's before she moved to Chicago, used to play the guitar every Saturday night at 5 o'clock. There is Chris, and she pipes up, and she says, "Well, I have a protein bar in my pocket. I don't tell the bishop." But we had Eucharist with the protein bar. Now, we did that, and it was a very sanctified, holy moment for us all. But I started to think afterwards, what does a protein bar do? People take a protein bar to give them a boost, to get energy, to help them get through the day. Now, Altar Guild, I'm not remotely suggesting we're going to make a change here. But I think there is some symbolism that's being brought out with this. I even went and I looked up the definition for protein. Listen to this. Any of a group of complex nitrogenous organic compounds of high molecular weight that contain amino acids as their basic structural units. Now, forget all that part, unless you're a scientist. But listen to this. That occur in all living matter and are essential for the growth and repair of tissue. Sounds like Eucharist to me. I don't think we can emphasize that too much. That the strength, the energy, the power that is there in that gift of the sacrament that we are so blessed to have. Don't forget that. Now let's look at the other way. You know, I said that there were two ways of looking at this idea of my flesh. And we can think of the flesh of Jesus as representing his humanity as well. It's important for us. You know, we say it in the Creed every Sunday when we get to that part about the incarnation and the Word was made flesh and all that. And it just goes off of our lips and probably, for the most part, never goes through our heart. But it's the most crucial thing to our faith. To think that God chose to become one of us. There's a man by the name of Fosdick who used to be the pastor up at Riverside Church in New York. If you've ever been there, it's kind of a neat place to go. And when he was traveling, he was asked to go to some place in Lebanon and give a talk at a service, an ecumenical service. And he was told that there were going to be 16 different religions represented there. A devout Christian, he wasn't sure, he didn't want to offend anybody, but what's he going to say that's going to make a difference for them? And he opened his remarks by saying this, "I am not here to get you to change your religion. But I am here to pose this question to you. What difference is your religion making in terms of your character?" Proof is in the pudding. It should be making a tremendous difference. I think it was Emerson who had that comment that, "I can't hear what you're saying because your actions are speaking so loud." It should make a huge difference in our actions, in our thoughts, in our words, in our approach to life, in our joy, in our peace, and all those other aspects of the Spirit that are promised to us. And Christianity is the only major religious faith that has God becoming one of us so that we might be like God. Paraphrase Jeremy Taylor's, and not just as a guest, but as an inhabitant. Barclay, who writes some classic commentaries, has a wonderful paragraph that I ran across that he wrote in terms of this particular theme. Listen what he said. We must grasp and never let go the full humanity of Jesus, that he was bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. In Jesus, we see God taking human life upon him, facing our human situation, struggling with our human problems, battling our human temptations, working out our human relationships. It's as if Jesus said, feed your heart, feed your mind, feed your soul on the thought of my manhood. When you are discouraged and in despair, when you are beaten to your knees and disgusted with life and living, remember, I took that life of yours and these struggles of yours on me. Suddenly, life and flesh are clad with glory, for they are touched with God. Let's get practical. You get up in the morning and your backache is back. You go downstairs and there's no coffee to make because the coffee can's empty. You get in a car and the car won't start. Finally, you get it going. You're driving to work on I-95 and everybody is giving you the one-finger salute and words to go with it and cutting you off right and left. You get to the office and there is your boss who continues to hound you on the one thing you did bad in the last year as opposed to the 1,000 good things that you did. All the customers on the phone are crabby and it goes on and on and on. We all talk about these things at coffee hour. We need to remember this. My flesh is food deep. We recall all these struggles we have. Jesus was there and went through it and took them upon himself for us as well. As the book of Hebrews says so clearly, he was tempted in every way that we are, yet did not sin. He's gone through it before. There's strength that we can gather by calling upon his help. Bread of life. Eucharist is a gift, an incredible gift. Do not forget as well the gift of Jesus as human. A story is told of a young boy and a father walking on the beach, and the son was having a problem with this passage. He said to his dad, how can Jesus live in us and we live in Jesus? It makes no sense to me. And the father saw a bottle with a cork in it on the sand, and he picked it up. He filled it half with water, put the cork back in, and threw the bottle out into the sea. And he said, look at that, son. The sea is in the bottle, and the bottle is in the sea. So too with Jesus. Jesus wants to live within us, not just as a guest, but as an inhabitant, as a part of our core being, each and every day, nourished in the Eucharist, continuing to call upon him for our help in time. May it be so.